Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back here to Silver and Black Today, and this is hour number two, and we're excited to be able to talk today with Rod Graves, the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance Foundation. Of course, FPA exists to champion diversity in the National Football League through education and providing its members with resources to help them succeed at every level of the game. Of course, it is hiring season, both on the field for coaches and in the front office for key front office positions, and the idea of diversity and minority candidates in the NFL is an important one. It's one that Rod has been working on and one that the Fritz Pollard Alliance has been working on for a long time. Rod, thanks for joining us here today and talking about the issue.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on with you guys and been looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. All right. So let's start right in with this, because I think number one, the first thing I wanted to frame, Rod, and I know you worked a long time in the NFL, is that there are some folks out there, and I don't think it's that they're doing it to be negative, but I think there's some folks out there who don't quite understand the issue. They look at it in a very simplistic fashion and say, well, the best person gets the job. Why are we talking about minority candidates? Why are we not talking about just the best person get the job? For those people not real familiar with what's happened in the NFL, the progress that's been made, the work that you do on a daily basis, could you frame for us the issue and why it continues to be one in the National Football League?
Sure. We all advocate the best person getting the job. But the issue for us is that the best person is not always the one at the table being interviewed. And so it's really about opportunity. And so when I look back over the entire history of the NFL, and professional football has been around for over 100 years. The NFL has been in existence for an extensive period of time. When you look at our numbers, where we've got two African-American general managers, three to four, and of course we've got a couple of interim head coaches, but let's just say three African-American head coaches and one additional person of color in Ron Rivera. When you look at those type of numbers, and let me just add to that one club president who's African-American. When I look at those numbers over the extensive period of time, I do not reflect on that as progress, especially in light of the fact that we have over 70% of the players on the field who are Black, and 30% are represented in the assistant coaching establishment. We're not asking for a certain level to be attained, but we know that it's not where it is today. It should not be. There should be more representation. And let me just in by saying here that I have stood on the field personally with many of these coaches, a number of which are on your staff, Edgar Bennett, Kirby Wilson, and many others across the league. I know how qualified these guys are for leadership. I know the extensive work that they put into it. They're teachers. They do a great job. So many of them should be represented at the interview table, and that's what we're here to bring attention to.
Rod, as we continue to explore this conversation and we talk about the Rooney Rule, we talk about men in color in the front office, like you were talking about, definitely can appreciate all the efforts that are being made. And the conversations, especially that I've always had as a man of color myself, as a young African American myself, I've always said that we just want an even playing field. We're not asking for a handout. We're not asking for any charity. We just want an even playing field. But I've always also kind of, questioned sometimes. You see a lot of interviews that take place, and it just kind of sometimes feels like that's just to satisfy the Rooney Rule. That's a satisfy the Rooney Rule interview right there. How do you kind of stop certain guys from being what it feels like just Rooney Rule interviews?
Well, you know, let me just speak to the Rooney Rule for 1 second by saying that when the Rooney Rule was put in place some years back, maybe 12, 13 years back, if that long, it was really to address the issue that not enough blacks were being represented at the interview table. We struggled very often just to have a chance to interview for jobs. So the Rooney Rule was invoked to ensure that at least we would have representation in the process. And I applaud the league for that. I think it was certainly a significant industry move in order for the league to agree to take on that kind of commitment. But what we found is that the Rooney Rule in and of itself is just a tool. It does not bind the decision makers. And so if there's not a commitment to diversity, if there's not a general understanding that diversity is good for the game, then we're going to continue to struggle. And in many ways, we haven't made the progress that we need to, unless there's buy-in from ownership, that diversity is something that is something that enhances the game, in many ways, quantitatively and qualitatively, it improves the game of football, and it makes the game available to everyone at all levels. And I think that's what the National Football League should be about.
Again, we're talking to Rod Graves, Executive Director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, about minority hiring in the National Football League. And Rod, you just mentioned it there, talking about the owners in the NFL. And there obviously is the decision makers when it comes to hiring. Yes, you know, coaching staffs have the ability to hire assistants and other folks like that. But when it comes to head coaching positions, the most visible there is in the NFL, along with front office positions. And I've said for a long time, Rod, that, you know, coaching, there's a lot of focus on the coaching, and I understand why, because there's more opportunities there. Obviously, it's very visible. But in the front office, too, I mean, there's guys like Martin Mayhew, who we know about, who have been given chances, and maybe things don't work for them, and then they're not given second chances. When you talk about working with Fritz Pollard and working with the NFL, I know you've had a lot of progress with the league. What about the ownership? Are you finding that you're getting notable progress there, and that teams are reaching out to the Alliance now and really wanting your help to understand how they can do better?
Well, on that topic, and you've raised a number of outstanding points, but on that topic, I will certainly say that I have to credit the commissioner, his staff, notably Troy Vincent, who have done an incredible job of keeping this topic of diversity and lack of in the leadership structure across the league, keeping it at a heightened level of visibility and awareness for ownership. They've done a significant job of that over the years, past 2 years in particular. But what, again, what we're finding is that at the end of the day, the results or the progress is in the results or lack of. I believe this year we've been given more attention to scrutinizing candidates, which we appreciate. I think there's been more black candidates involved this year with the interview process, which we appreciate. Many of them are highly viewed as quality candidates. You mentioned Martin Mayhew. There's been a number of others out there. Martin is one of those top candidates. But I can go across the board with a number of guys that I think, whether it's Jerry Reese, who holds 2 Super Bowl rings, or Rick Smith, who was a former executive vice president and general manager in Houston, Reggie McKenzie, formerly with your organization. There are many guys out there who are capable of really exerting the kind of championship caliber leadership that's needed to run a football team. And yet we don't see those guys getting the opportunities that, we see with our counterparts across the league. And while we recognize that as a fact of life, I think the NFL needs to recognize that in order for us to really take a true step toward diversity and equity and fairness and all of the things that we've heard the league talk about, especially during this past offseason, then we've got to change our attitudes. We've got to change our hiring policy. We've got to be serious about really hiring and giving a door to young African-American, whether they be on the coaching side or on the business side. And so I think from that standpoint, we've got a great deal more work to do in order to see the kind of results that we're looking for. And it starts with a commitment on this issue from the owners.
Rod, earlier in 2020 in the summer, you know, they had this compensation idea was rolled out. It was approved and then it was kind of shelved. And then I think it was readdressed again in November. And I apologize if I'm not up to date on exactly where we stand with that right now. And I know it had to do with front office hirings. It also had to do with promotions and hirings of minorities. Where do we stand on the compensation where it was a few draft picks and why was it ultimately shelved?
Well, you know, let me go back and say that what the league introduced originally was a system whereby if an incumbent team who held a candidate, that if they were to hire and develop that candidate and then see that candidate hired by another club, the compensation would go to the team that was hiring them as an incentive to go after minorities, especially if they were close in some situations between candidates and non-black candidates, if you will, or non-candidates of color. What happened was that there were many, including Chris Pollard, who certainly felt that was offensive in the sense that there needed to be additional weight put on us as candidates in order to incentivize clubs to hire. We just thought that sent the wrong message and that, you know, we should be viewed with equal footing. If I were a white candidate, I would be upset with a system that really suggested that as well. So I think after some reflection, the league decided to go back and take a look at it. And what they decided to do was really give the incentive to those teams that were hiring, nurturing, developing candidates. And if you lose a candidate in that situation, then you would receive compensation in the form of a draft choice. That was much more receptive, I think, overall to that approach than the initial one, and that's the system that we're under today.
Rod Graves, the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, is our guest here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Rod, the question I had to, you know, the Raider fans and the Raider organization overall, as we cover them, they're very proud of their history of diversity, going back to Al Davis and kind of his mentality about winning. He didn't care where you came from. He recruited to historically black colleges before the rest of the NFL was really doing it. This year, the Raiders announced, along with UNLV, my alma mater, that they were going to build the Al Davis Eddie Robinson Leadership Academy to help to develop minority coaching and general managers for the NFL. And this is a program to really get to young minorities and African Americans to help them develop the skill set. Now, we've been talking about how there are so many people out there that are qualified who don't necessarily always get a chance, but here's a way to kind of look long term. Talk a little bit about that plan that the Raiders have done with the Al Davis Eddie Robinson Leadership Academy, and then a little bit about the fact that that there's a long-term plan in place that you feel good about with the NFL for sustained growth over time? Because short-term, yeah, we hear about Eric Bieniemy this year. He's the top coaching candidate in the NFL this year. But that's just one coach. That's 1 year. What about that sustained long-term? And will something like the Al Davis, Eddie Robinson Leadership Academy help with that?
Well, first of all, let me go back to the history of the Raiders. And you're exactly right. Al Davis and the Davis family have had a long history and tradition for recognizing African Americans and utilizing them in their leadership structure. You know, I go back to the days of Art Shell and Willie Brown and those guys that are all recognized for leadership, and there are many, many others that have come through that organization. And giving credit to the Davis family and the perspective of and vision of Al Davis, he saw these men for what they were, and great contributors to the game, capable of functioning at all levels of the game, both internally and on the field, on the coaching staff. And so, even with respect to women in leadership roles, Amy Trask comes to mind. That was something that certainly was not ordinary back during that particular time. So the Raiders have done an outstanding job. One of the requirements that the teams have been asked to do is to initiate a DE&I, let me just say a diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy themselves to implement and to grow and nurture diversity strategies and so forth. And this plan that has been constructed and worked with Las Vegas, with the university there, I believe is outstanding. It is a first step to a long-term effort to curb where we are with respect to the numbers in the NFL and to grow it in areas that go beyond the field, to produce opportunities on the business side where, quite frankly, the record of diversity is just as abysmal as it has been in the leadership structure on the football side. I will say with respect to efforts in that area, that the league has to do a much better job, I think, convincing me personally and members of the Chris Pollard Alliance that they're sincere about moving forward and changing the landscape. In essence, they've allowed us to continue this conversation and the focus on the field and the lack of diversity on with respect to teams. But in reality, the league has not come forth with a comprehensive plan to address all of the subsidiaries under the National Football League. And that includes NFL Films, NFL Properties, NFL Media, all the other subsidiaries that have escaped scrutiny. And if you look at the numbers behind those separate subsidiaries, the performance on diversity, and particularly hiring people of color, in my opinion, is shameful. And so we need to bring attention to that. And if the league is serious about implementing a true, fair, and equitable plan for hiring and growing representation of all colors across the National Football League, then you have to present a comprehensive plan and not one just focused on a particular segment of your business.
Yeah, fantastic. And Rod, I have to say, you know, the work that you got, I know there's a long way to go. You can't claim victory until things are working. And I think it's going to take a lot more time. But I appreciate what you guys are doing. I appreciate what you've done. You had a long career, obviously, in the NFL. And the fact that you're doing this now says a lot about you. And, of course, the organization. If people want to learn more about the Fritz Pollard Organization, we've linked up to the website of the Alliance to see what's going on there. But, Rod, thank you so much for being so generous with your time with us today.
Guys, I've appreciated it, and thank you so much for giving time to this topic.
All right, there you go. Rod great Graves stuff. From the Fritz Pollard Alliance. Rod, have a great year, and best of luck to you moving forward.
Thank you. You too.
It's time to take a break. When we come back, it's that time of the day. It's time for the Q-tip. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, Silver and Black, today here on Raider Nation Radio, brought to you by, of course, our friend Sam and Ash, injury attorney, samandashlaw.com is where you can visit them. And Q, what a great interview with Rod Graves, man. I think this issue, before I fully understood it a couple years ago when I started covering the league more in depth, I didn't quite have an understanding of what all the intricacies and the issues were. But Rod Graves, what a great spokesperson. It's good to hear that he's got a clear path for what they want to see from the league and what they want to see from owners.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And you know, I've been I've been very adamant that, you know, I'm not a big fan of a lot of the rules that they try to put in place because of everything that he said. You know, I mean, yeah, you can have a rule, but if it's not appreciated, if it's not, you know, something that all the owners buy into, it's not really going to matter, you know? And so that's always been my big, you know, disagreement with, you know, the Rooney rule. It's been my disagreement with, and you heard him talk about the compensation. I was very adamant when they started rolling out that compensation statement before, and I was like, man, are you serious? You know, like, you're gonna bribe somebody? That's more disrespectful anyway. And so I'm glad that they were all on board, and that's why it was it was shelved. But when I asked him the question about it, I didn't want to come from the angle of I didn't like it. I just wanted to hear his thoughts on it. So I didn't want to try to lead him down a, you know, like, oh, follow my narrative. I really wanted to hear his point of view. And so I was glad to hear that basically everybody was on the same page as what I had gone off on multiple months ago on the Q-tip about that situation.
Yeah, he said it was insulting, and I agree with him. You said that the day it happened, So it's good to hear that they've come around on that, and clearly, they're engaging with the Fritz Pollard Alliance much more, as are some more owners, and that's good. And we'll keep an eye on that. And we'll visit with him after the hiring season's over and see kind of the scorecard and how things have gone. All right, it's that time of the day. We get right to it. It's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
All right, well, today, I don't know why I got to fall into this trap, and I know it's a trap, and I always say that, you know, social media is a cesspool, and we all know how I feel about it, and a lot of times I just walk away from conversations, but I got trapped into a conversation and a back and forth on Monday evening of, you know, around the end of the national championship game and even a little bit of this morning. And look, it's no disrespect. I know that Raider Nation is the most passionate fan base of all time. I get it, man. I'm a member. I'm a proud member of Raider Nation, so I know. But I'll tell you, this is not my father's Raiders. It's not your father's Raiders. It is 2021. If a young man like a Henry Ruggs or a young man like a Damon Arnett happens to like an Instagram picture of Deshaun freaking Watson in a Raiders jersey in Allegiant Stadium, it's not a disrespect to Derek Carr. It's a 22-year-old that knows Deshaun Watson, is friends with Deshaun Watson, and it is what it is. It's not them publicly advocating for a new quarterback. It's them just going out there and saying, hey, that's my guy. Hey, love that dude. And loving and liking a picture. I mean, we live in a social media world. Everything is on it. Everybody's worried about brands. Everybody's, you know, they're all friends with everybody. They've all competed against each other. Don't look further into a situation than it really is. I see so many people in Raider Nation worked up because Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett liked that picture of Deshaun Watson that was floating around Twitter. I mean, or Instagram or whatever it is. Who cares? That's his guys. You know, there's this conversation that I got into back and forth on Twitter. Oh, well, the players publicly disrespect Derek Carr because Gruden and Mayock publicly disrespect him, and they don't back him up, and they don't, you know, they don't say that he's the guy. No, actually, they do say the guy. They say he's the guy so much that it's almost unbelievable they say he's the guy. John Gruden repeatedly every single week, Derek Carr, I love Derek Carr. He goes on and on about how much he loves Derek Carr, and no, he's not going anywhere. He proved a lot in 2020. He's probably going to get a contract extension. Let it go, man. I used to have a friend that used to say, L-I-G it. And I was like, what does that mean? Let it go. It's just not that serious. You know what I mean? Like, man, you get worked up all over a stinking Instagram post and a like by Henry Ruggs or a like by Damon Arnett. Like, man, if anything, those guys got to worry about their job. Derek Carr ain't worried about what they're saying. You know what I mean? They got to prove their role. They ain't making no decisions on no quarterback. So I hate to, you know, like ruin a segment of the show just by going on a rant about, you know, social media, you know, interaction and everything. But, man, it gets so old. Everyone, oh, Derek Carr needs to ask for a trade because he's so disrespected. No, he's not. Get out of here. He's not disrespected by the organization. No. The NFL is a business. If there was any chance that John Watson would be available for the Raiders, they would be stupid not to do some due diligence. I'll say that. But I think that that there's no issue. He's going to go. He's going to be there. He's going to be fine. It's not a problem. Just let it go. It's just not that serious.
Yeah, and Q, it's a great point. And I think that, listen, I love rabid fans. Right. I mean, people, that's why they're fanatics. They're called fans. Raider Nation has some of the best, if not the best, in all of pro sports. At the same time, if you have that much time that you're thinking about what people like on Instagram and trying to read something into it, you really need to find something else to do because that means you're spending way too much time thinking about it. In fact, think about how much time it takes to like a picture. The thought that goes through your head. I've done it before on Twitter. I like somebody posted a quote and I liked it. I didn't know who the guy was. Somebody had retweeted it. And then I get this DM message. You know, that guy's a political nutbag and blah, blah, blah. I can't believe you liked it. I said, I like the quote. I don't know who the guy is. I'm not endorsing the guy's points of view. I like the quote. It was a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. and I liked it. Big deal. That does not mean that I'm on board with the guy's political views. Well, you should be careful about what you like. Okay. All right. Well, if you want to look at what I'm liking.
Twitter police.
Yes. If you're looking at, you're taking that much time to look into what Scott Gilbranson, who hosts along with Q Myers, Silver and Black Today, and runs a website. If that is something that you're spending a lot of time doing, then you got problems. And so I agree with your Q there. It's don't read too much into it. These guys are all friends. It's not like the 1960s where if you were on a visiting team, an opposing team, you didn't like each other, you didn't associate with
right.
them.
You guys were enemies and everything. Right. I mean, these guys, they hug it out as soon as the game's over. Right. I mean, they hug it out. They're talking about what they're going to do. They go over each other's house. I mean, it's just, and look, I don't agree with all the love and hugs and all that and hammered it up, right. You know, immediately after the game's over, even during the game when guys are smiling and joking with each other. I don't necessarily agree with all that because that's just not that I got a little bit more edge to me and I like it. But I mean, it is what it is, man. Just kind of get over it.
It is. Absolutely. Q, as always, man, thanks for the Q tip. I know you got to run to get to your show in Central Texas. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, my man. Appreciate you. Good stuff. Raider Nation, keep doing what you do. Don't worry about Instagram and Twitter.
The Q-tip, always, every day here on Silver and Black Today. Yeah, and I love Q, man. All right, I look forward to him being back tomorrow. And we're going to take one call here before we go to the break. You can also get online, 702-365-9200. Vinny Bonsignor, who's been Mr. Breaking News today, will be with us next after the break. First, we go all the way out to Australia. And we bring in our good friend, Rossi, who calls the show all the time. Rossi, how you doing today, buddy? What do you think of the hire?
I like it. I think that he's a teaching coach. I think that I want to see him put his own stamp. I don't particularly like how Gruden came out and just went, oh, we're a 4-3 defense. I think that you pick the scheme that best fits the players. It's a young team. I was certainly listening to a few free agent conversations over the past couple of days, and obviously Justin Simmons' name comes up, and now Melvin Ingram's name comes up. Both very just sign them and you just put them straight in the team. I get that, but the important thing right now is just for coaching these D guys up, improving them, and providing a scheme that can make them as successful as possible.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think the Raider Nation needs to watch, and you tell me if you agree with me, Rossi, and it's okay if you don't. I think Raider Nation needs to watch that maybe this team won't use its first-round draft pick on a defensive player. They might end up trading out of that position or whatever, because I think they'll be active in the free agent market. There's some good veterans. You mentioned a couple of them that are going to be out there, but I wouldn't rule out a trade either. So I think if you get too invested in the fact that you think they're going to go get a young college defender, that might not be right.
I think it will be the best player available at that point. If there's a couple of the O-line guys that have dropped, then absolutely. I have no doubt that they know they need to get younger on the O-line. But at the same time, I don't disagree with the move out. Certainly, acquiring picks is always a big thing for Mayo. Whether he hits them or not is a different conversation for a different time. But you know, there are plenty of free agents out there that instantly improve, provide that leadership. And I know I've mentioned Justin Simmons, but he knows how to win. He's been a part of a defense that has been a phenomenal defense. Whether you like Denver or not, it doesn't matter. But you have to respect their defense. It's the same with Ingram. Although I think that his price point might just be a little bit too far for what the Raiders can afford. But there's still other people kicking around that can definitely provide that injection of adrenaline that needs to happen. And then we just pick the best player available. We keep on hearing about foundation players. Well, now we want impact players. And I think that's where the draft focus has to be.
Yeah, no doubt. Great call. And I think that Vinny just reported too, and he's coming up next here after the break, that Richard Smith will coach the linebackers and Ron Miles will coach a defensive back. All good coaches. So he's already building a staff, I think, to your point about teachers and guys who are going to be able to get the most out of those young players. Rossi, as always, man, thanks for the call.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right, there you go. Rossi from Australia. Love it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll close the show talking to Vinny Bonsignore, Mr. Breaking News today. He's been all over this, as he always is. Of course, he hosts In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy coming up next at 4 o'clock, which I'm sure he'll break down the whole Gus Bradley hire as well as we've done. It's going to be a great night of Raider Nation Radio, so don't go anywhere. We'll step aside. When we come back, it's Vinny here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. Welcome back. Tuesday here on Silver and Black today. About to wrap it up. A busy, busy day over on Raiders Way. Gus Bradley, the new defensive coordinator and one of the guys who was right on top of this and, of course, has a busy day, and I'm sure his fingers are ready to fall off already, is my colleague here at Raider Nation Radio. He hosts In the Huddle alongside Raiders legend Lincoln Kennedy at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. That is Vinny Bonsignore. Vinny, this hire, you know, some fans weren't going to be happy no matter who it was. You could have resurrected Buddy Ryan and they wouldn't have been happy. But nonetheless, I think this is a great hire. Gus Bradley has a great, great resume. He's done great things inside the AFC West and against the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall, you're getting great feedback from around the league, aren't you?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it's not just Gus Bradley now at this point. He's bringing along Richard Smith as his linebackers coach and Ron Miles as his DB's coach. And all three of these guys are highly respected coaches. You know, I know fans are going to fan. That's what they're going to do.
Sure. Of course.
We're all used to that. And you know, the lazy, easy thing to say is, oh, he worked with John Gruden. John Gruden is just hiring one of his friends. Look at the track record. Look at the production. You know, what the Chargers did from 2017 through 2019, Raider fans would take that in a heartbeat right now. Obviously, things are dynamics are different. You need to get the personnel. You know, I contend that there's players on hand that are going to be part of the whole equation and the answer, but they're going to make additions as well. And Gus Bradley is going to have a big say in talent identification and then the development of the new players and the current players. But, you know, this is a highly respected coach in the NFL, had other suitors as well. There were, you know, teams that you know, were interested in also bringing him in as a defensive coordinator. You know, again, fans are going to fan, and I get that, and I understand that. But I think in due time, he'll win them over.
No doubt about it. I mean, you look at his four seasons as the defensive coordinator of the Chargers. He guided the defense top 10 finish in 2019, as you said, sixth total in passing was fifth. Then this season, the Chargers only allowed 200.3 passing yards per game, the fewest since they moved to LA in 17, and the second fewest by a Chargers team since 2010. And then, of course, this season, the Chargers ranked 10th in total defense under him, including 9th in passing defense. And that's why I've been debunking a couple things today. Number one was the Gruden only hires his friends, because to your point, as you made, this is the way the world works. Of course, you're going to try. If you're a CEO of a company, if you're the editor of a newspaper and you got a writer and you know that writer because they've worked for you and you trust in their ability and you know they're the right person for the job, why wouldn't you hire them? And then secondarily, this idea that somehow, well, he only did well because he had talent there. No, you still have to coach the guys up. There's been plenty of examples. The other thing, Vinny, I want to touch on is this idea that I'm hearing, and I got a couple callers, although I would say that by 7-1, the callers were in favor of this hire and very excited about it, is the fact that, well, is he going to be able to be his own guy? Listen, I think part of the reason Paul Gunther failed was he was able to be his own guy. So there's no record that John Gruden is on top of these coordinators and doesn't let them do what he wants to do. I think people took the fact that Gruden said, hey, I'd prefer to run a 4-3, as that he was going to dictate what the defensive coordinator was going to do. And that's just not the case.
Yeah, no. That's not, you know, how it works anyway. I mean, of course the head coach is going to have suggestions and, his vision of what he wants to see. But ultimately, when you make a hire like this, you're hiring somebody to do their job and be the defensive coordinator. And for John Gruden, you know, bringing in somebody with experience, not only as a defensive coordinator, but as a head coach, it really does allow him to now oversee defense, but also be hands-on on offense. You know, I remember talking to Sean McVay when he brought in Wade Phillips. Now, granted, it was Sean McVay's first head coaching job in 2017, coaching the Rams. And he brought in a Wade Phillips to just take care of the defense, to the point where Sean McVay, on some defensive possessions for the Rams, would be over on the bench talking to his offense, because he had so much confidence that no matter what happened, even if a timeout needed to happen or something, you know, I've got Wade Phillips over there, in charge of the defense, and has been there, done that. So it gives John Gruden, this type of a hire, gives John Gruden a lot of, freedom to now focus on the offense, kind of oversee the defense with the understanding and the confidence that Bradley can take care of his job and get his job done at a high level and get that defense playing at a high level.
Vinny Bonsignor is with me. Of course, he is the beat writer for the Raiders at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Also the host of In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy, coming up next here from 4 to 6 on Raider Nation Radio. And Vinny, one of the things that I got from the press conference and sitting in on it was when they asked him about playing, we played the clip earlier, when they asked him about style of play, and he said, look, we're going to play with speed. We're going to get after the quarterback. He stressed the importance of in the NFL and on defense of getting after the quarterback. And to me, that was one of the things that we talked about all year, right? When the Raiders struggled on defense under Paul Gunther, and then late in the season under Rob Marinelli, it was the fact that guys weren't necessarily asked to do what they do best. And my guy, and I like him, I know you covered him for a long time, was Corey Littleton. I refuse to believe that Corey Littleton has lost anything. I just think he was put into an untenable situation where he wasn't necessarily asked to do what he's best at. It certainly sounds, and I know introductory press conferences, Vinny, are all fun and smiles and giggles and laughs, and everybody's positive about them. But when he said that, when Gus Bradley specifically called that stuff out, I think that's a great sign, and that's exactly what you needed from a new defensive coordinator coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about this, how so much of the answer for the Raiders' defense is going to have to come from what's already there. They've invested a lot when you think about it. I know, there was more invested offensively, over these last 3 years. But that doesn't mean that the defense was completely overlooked. Far from it. When you're talking about first round picks and Jonathan Abram and Damon Arnett, a second round pick, and Trayvon Mullen, a first round pick, and Cleve Farrell, money that went to free agency for big free agents like Corey Littleton and Nick Wachowski and Carl Nassib. These guys were paid, for a reason, and they weren't just targets of the Raiders. These guys were drafted where they were for a reason, and they weren't just highly regarded by the Raiders. These are known players that have skills that appeal to a lot of different teams. Now it's a question of getting the most out of it, maximizing all that skill. And I think having someone like Gus Bradley and the defensive backs coach Ron Miles, who has a long track record of player development at that position, and Richard Smith as well at linebacker coach, you're in a better position now to be able to get that out of those players. And I would really, I think that development end of things was a huge component in all this, on top of everything else. And you can say that, press conferences are all fun and giggles and things like that. But just look at what happened with Adam Gase with the New York Jets. You could also blow it. I've seen that a million times as well. Where you're just like, wow, who's this dud that they hired, and what they do that for? Gus Bradley, on the other hand, it's not just what we saw today, but just knowing people who know him and who have worked with him and have covered him, the one thing that comes out is, and I'm high on all of this, is passion and enthusiasm and excitement. He's going to get after it. He's a great communicator. And when you cover things for a long enough time, you understand that those aren't just words, and that's not just cliches. There's something to be said about it. Those type of attributes and how it, resonates with players and the teaching aspect. And so I think, the Raiders could have done far worse than Gus Bradley. I think that this is a big domino that just fell. And I would think that you're going to see some tangible results starting next year with this defense. He's not a miracle worker. There's still a lot of work that needs to get done. There's players that they need to go get and target and positions that need to be improved. But as first step goes in rehabilitating a problem area, this was a pretty sturdy, confident one that I think is going to have positive effects.
Yeah, and you hit on a key point right there, which is he's not a miracle worker. And I've said that the entire show, Vinny, which is this doesn't need to be a top 10 defense. The Raiders have had two top 10 defenses in 30 years, okay? And if we talked about it all year with the previous defense, which was, hey, if they can be middle of the road with the offense, as well as the offense has done, as well as the offense will probably do, and as they continue to tweak and get better at it, that's what you need them to do. Now, Vinny, with the rules around the NFL, the season's over now. How quickly can these new coaches, including Gus Bradley, meet with the players? I know it'll probably be all virtual, but how can they start go ahead and getting to know their players? Now, of course, they can watch all the film they need to, but what's the rules and the protocol around them meeting with their new players?
Meeting with, that's a little bit tricky. that's going to be somewhat delayed. Although, again, nowadays, if one thing COVID taught us is there's ways to communicate now without being in person. So I would imagine that there's going to be a lot of that, getting to know you, getting to virtual introductions and skull sessions and things like that. But mm-hmm. Just as importantly, I think is, and this probably has already started, knowing Gus Bradley, he's already diving into the tape to look at what he really has to work with. And that's going to take a couple of, a month or so for him to really, really get a good look at these players, what he has to work with. I know he has a peripheral sort of a command of this personnel and this team, but in terms of really getting after it on that end of what he has to work with, that starts now. And so by the time, OTAs roll around, he's going to have a really good handle on what it is that he's working with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Vinny, I know you'll be talking and covering this all with Lincoln up next. Thanks as always, man. Great job today. You were all over the place. I know it was a busy day. Thanks for all you do.
All right, I appreciate it, Scott. Thank you, and we will talk to you tomorrow, right? We talk tomorrow?
You got it, man. Absolutely.
All right, man.
There you go, Vinny Bonsignore. I appreciate it, man. Take care. Vinny Bonsignore coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Stay right through. He's going to have a great show. He was on top of this story all day, all week, the last several weeks. So make sure you listen to him and Lincoln coming up on In the Huddle. For our producer, David Stepanian, for our engineer, Chris Chapman, and of course, for my partner, Q Myers, I'm Scott Gilbranson. We'll talk to you guys here tomorrow. Hondo Carpenter will be my special guest host, so make sure you tune in 2 to 4 p.m. Have a great night, Raider Nation. Take care.